Shawnee J and I are back from vacation. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast, we look at the Lions at the halfway point of the season. Shawnee J does an outstanding profile on a Lions legend, and Nayendo covers two roles this week. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar.
What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
What's happening, Kurt? Been a while, but we got to get back into it.
Yes, fans, we have been on hiatus. We've had some family vacations between Sean and myself. And I have to give it up. I was sick last week. I couldn't record. My voice was not cooperating. So sorry about that. But fans, we are back this week. And I am so glad to be back here with you on the Die Hard Den podcast.
And yes, so am I.
You know, man, we miss our fans, man. We miss our listeners. But as we always do at this time, it is time to tell me something good. All right. Now, the first thing for tell me something good this week is our man, number 9, Matthew Stafford. You know, he was injured. Last week, his 136 consecutive start streak came to an end on Sunday. However, to tell me something good about that is that he said he's not done for the season. He said he's going to continue to rehab and return to the lineup once he gets healthy. So big shout out to Stafford. He's a tough guy. They say that fractures in his back were just too bad for him to play. What do you got about that, my man?
Yeah, you know, I love Stafford. I protect them. If Lions fans don't appreciate what they have, they'll appreciate when he's gone. He's a tough guy. You know, he played 136 straight games. I was hoping he'd be like our Brett Favre. He was in many respects. All good things must come to the end. But like I said, he's not going to shut it down. He wants to play. He wants to come back and play regardless of the Lions are out the playoff hunt or not. He wants to stay in Detroit. I mean, if Detroit fans truly don't understand or appreciate what they have in this man, the best quarterback we ever had, yes, better than Bobby Lane and any other quarterback you name. Lions fans just don't truly appreciate what they have. He's tough. He's committed. He's dedicated. He's loyal. I mean, these are all things that Lions fans said they want a quarterback, but still got so many people saying, Trey Stafford, he's a bum. We'll never go anywhere with him. Well, you want to start over a young quarterback who may or may not be good or as tough or as resilient as Stafford has been over the years. I hope he can still be our Brett Favre. Let's start another streak with 136 games. Let him be our Tom Brady, our Drew Brees, our Phillip Rivers, our Lion for life.
All right. And the next tell me something good I have is I want to give a big shout out to the Lions. Now, this story is personal for me because I am a veteran myself. The Lions hosted military families at Ford Field on Monday evening. They had activities, games. They signed some things for those military families. Big shout out to the Lions supporting the military families. You know, this week was the Salute to Service game. Of course, being on the Veterans Day weekend, and most teams will have at least one Salute to Service game in their stadium this month. And I am a veteran. Like I said, I served 26 years in the Army. So happy Veterans Day to all those who served listening to this podcast. And again, big shout out to the Lions who hosted military families for Veterans Day on Monday.
Yes, you know, the Lions, they may not be doing as well. See, we want them to do on the field, win as many games, but a lot of guys have good hearts. They help the people, they help the community, they help the veterans, they help the homeless with meals, help high school students. And, you know, so, yeah, we want them to win on the field. Yes, definitely. But, hey, give them credit. They're not the selfish, spoiled, rich, entitled athletes we think they are. So, shout out to the Lions, like you said.
Right. Now, with that being said, it is time to move on. Now it's time to go on the ball. Now, this week, we're going to do a recap of the Lions' first part of the season. Right now, the Lions offense ranks fourth in the league in passing at 291 yards per game. And the Lions rank 20th in rushing yards, gaining 96.2 yards per game. And for their takeaways, they're at zero for plus minus because they have 12 giveaways and 12 takeaways. So our giveaways are six interceptions and six fumbles. What do you think about the Lions offense in the first part of the season, my man?
The strength of the offense still remains Stafford in the pass game, not right wide receivers. Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones are quietly having great seasons, especially Jones. Yeah, I mean, right. It's a contract year from him. He wants another contract. I think the Lions should give him one because he's making some big 50-50 catches, and he still has good speed and good hands. He's making the tough catches. Mm-hmm. This might be a contract year, so he wants to earn that contract. Give it to him. It don't have to be a 10-year contract, maybe a 2 or 3-year contract with an option. But I hope they do re-sign him. And Kenny Galladay, like I said, he's becoming our baby Calvin, baby Herman Moore. I like Galloway. Danny Amendola, when he made that signing this last spring, I kind of, Amendola. But he still got speed and quickness and good hands. He's like Stafford's new version of Golden Tate. And speaking of Stafford, Iron Man streak ended 136 games. I told you. I didn't want to see him get hit. He got hit. He got hurt in the Oakland game. And the guy who hit him got at least, you know, he received a big 23,000 fine. Should have been more. But I told people I don't want to see Stafford get hit or touched. I want the offensive line to protect him like Tom Brady gets protected in New England. Really gets touched. Stafford, I love the guy. Like I said, he still wants to come back. This injury is not career threatening or won't even own in this season. Dr. David Chow, you heard of him, right? He's pretty good with
correct
analysis. He looked at what happened to Stafford. He knows Stafford and the nature of the injury. He thinks Stafford can be back within 2 to 3 weeks. So he might miss a month in November, or he may be back in time for the Thanksgiving game. So
right.
Stafford's a tough guy. He wants to play regardless of the Lions are in the hunt or not. I love Stafford. I mean, the best quarterback the Lions ever had. Lions fans better recognize, because just like when Barry left, when Calvin left, then we feel stupid, you know. But the running backs, I keep telling people, I want a running back. The Lions have been hit hard with injuries at the running back position. Kerryon got hurt again. His Ray Carson got hurt. Ty Johnson has suffered a concussion. He may be out. So they get hit hard at the running back position. I want a running back in the first round next year. We can go defense off free agency. And picks 2 through 7, we can take defensive players. But with our first round pick, I want a running back.
Okay. I will say this. I'm disappointed in the Lions offense as far as the running attack. Under the new offensive coordinator, Darren Bevell, it was supposed to be a strength coming into the season. They're still ranked better than they have been in most years at 20th, but still, we're still less than 100 yards per game. I know that it's not Bevell's fault with the injuries to Kerryon Johnson and now Ty Johnson and Trey Carson, but this was supposed to be the year where we had a balanced attack. And it's not just the offense's part because of the fact that, the offense's fault because of the fact that our defense is not holding up the end of the bargain. But we'll get to that in a minute. But Matthew Stafford and the offense and now Jeff Driskel has to pass the ball more often because of the fact we're in these shootouts where there's a whole bunch of points scored and you have to throw the ball to win the game because of the fact we're having to revert back to the old uses of Stafford because of the fact it's such a high-scoring affair on both sides of the ball. I don't like the fact that we have to use Stafford so much in the passing game. I would like it to be more balanced as far as the production because we're running the ball often, but the production's not there like I would like it to be.
And hence, we need a running back. We need to take a running back. A running back.
I got you. I hear you. Now, Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones are tops in the league, up in those top tier as far as receiving touchdowns. They're doing very well in the passing game. Marvin Jones is making some great catches. Kenny Golladay, he kind of disappointed me with some drops in the last game. Now, I know there were some tough catches. I know he's not used to Jeff Driskel throwing him the ball. Driskel only found out really that morning. We're talking about hours before the game that he was going to be starting. He took some first-team reps, but it's not the same chemistry as what Matthew Stafford has with those receivers. Driskel's going to get some more practice time this week, starting tomorrow, but we'll see how it is going forward with Driskel and the receivers. Hopefully we can get McKissick and Perkins and get the offensive line to make some holes for those guys, and we can get the running game going this second part of the season.
It's going to be a big...
Go ahead.
Hopefully they'll, you know, they'll sign a player I always liked in college, but it was Henry Pearl in his whole career, high school, college, and pros. That's Bo Scarborough, the former Alabama back, practice squad. Ty Johnson can't play. They can, you know, elevate him to the main roster. I always loved Bo, but he passed the eye test. He's built like a bodybuilder. He's very talented. Well, you just can't stay healthy. I mean, every time you hear some breath. So I like both.
Right. Scarborough is a good player. However, like you said, he's injury prone. We're going to see how that's going to work out for the Lions going forward. I do believe that my man Bo was a good signing. However, you don't want to bring a player into the fold who's often injury prone because of the fact that he can play a down. You know, the NFL's one of those sports where any given down, a player can get injured. And if he has an injury history as he does, it could not bode well for that signing. But I digress. We'll move on. The offense going forward for the 2019 second half of the season, hopefully we can find some more balance going forward and production in the run game. The passing game is going to be there. Doesn't matter if it's Jeff Driskel or Matthew Stafford, but we would like Stafford at the helm, of course. Moving on to, it's time to defend the den. Now, looking at the defense, I said this to some friends in passing. Coming into the 2019 season, the Lions defense was supposed to be a strength, but the acquisitions of some big names on the defensive side of the ball with Justin Coleman, Rashawn Melvin, and the big signing of Trey Flowers and even Mike Daniels. And the defense really has been a weakness for the team. They ranked 30th in total defense, and they ranked at the bottom of the league as far as we're 28th in passing and 26th in rushing. What's going on with the defense, my man? We can't stop anyone. That's what's making Stafford being overused. I mean, he has to get back there and pass because of the fact the defense can't stop anyone from putting up points. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. How can the Lions expect to make the playoffs if they can't stop anybody?
I got two theories on that. One, it's obvious, it's the injuries. We suffer. We've been hit hard on the defensive side of the ball, especially the line. Mike Daniels missed some time with an injury. Just came back last week, but he got hurt again. So a couple other Romeo Okwara got hurt. Deshaun Hand got hurt. All young kind of players missed a lot of time on the defensive line, which I thought was going to be deep and talented. Even Austin Bryant, the rookie who came from that stud defensive line from Clemson, he's just getting back now to practicing. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's one thing. Obviously, things injuries. Second thing, I tell people, if you follow me in the group, the Lions group on Facebook, is I hate that scheme that Pascalone and Patricia's run, that passive rushing three guys, you know, hate that. I want to be more aggressive, especially on the pass. We gave away a couple of games, like the Oakland game, the KC game, even the Green Bay game, the losses, because we couldn't generate trust because they were only rushing three guys. And like I said, I love quarterback sacks. You know that. Recently, the Chicago game, the New York Giants game, they got more aggressive. I mean, they blitz. They blitz the linebackers. They blitz Jared Davis. They blitz Tyvay. I like seeing that. I think Pascalone, you know, I think Bill William Ford Jr. talked to him and said, look, man, you better get a pass rush going because Russian 3 ain't going to get it. And so I think Pascalone got the message from the big man, the boss. His boss's boss. on the team. And like I said, Kyle Gannon got more aggressive. He got Fax in on Trubisky. The defense didn't play that bad against Chicago. I mean, it was, you know, they were in a bad position, but overall, they didn't play that poorly against Chicago. If Stafford would have played his game, you know, Stafford being Stafford, he was there, we would have won that Chicago game. But like you said, with the quarterback situation, that put us behind the eight ball. And the defense, those are two things I think that held the Lions defense back. Number one, the scheme. Number two, the injuries. But I tell you, the Lions tight end, he's starting the ball. And I read one that he's the Lions' best linebacker, one of the best defenders, and they want to see him on the field more. I want to see him more, too, and I want to see him, you know, blitz the quarterback. I think he's our, dare I say, junior Seau, but I don't want to see him in like junior Seau. But I'm starting to see why the Lions take him second. He's a lot of critics, but still, I hate when the Lions trade away my man. What do you think?
Yeah.
For a fifth round pick.
You know what? We'll get into that in 2 points conversion, but it really hurt my heart that they traded Quandre Diggs to the Seattle Seahawks. And actually, he made an interception last night, and I was happy for him. I will always like Quandre Diggs because of the fact the not just the player he is, but the kind of person he is. And we'll get into that a little bit later in 2 points conversion. So what he did for me a couple years ago. But I will say this, I would definitely agree with you on the injuries. And I think that the injuries to Deshaun Hand and Mike Daniels were definitely untimely, where they affected the play of the defensive line, because we put a lot of emphasis on the defensive line in the offseason, you know, that Trey Flowers signing. However, Snacks is not having it really. He's playing better lately, but he hasn't had that great of a season. I really was wanting more from him coming in. I wanted him to be that run stuffer that he was last year. Now, he's making some plays, but it's just not the same caliber of Snacks that you had from last year. Now, the defensive secondary, our secondary plays up and down. Sometimes Justin Coleman and those guys can stop and shut people down. You know, we lost late for a game or so, but now he's back in the fold. Quarterbacks just don't throw at him. You know, you just don't see a lot of, I mean, except for that Phillip Rivers game where they played the Chargers and he really challenged him with Keenan Allen. A lot of people don't throw at Slay. I mean, for a good reason, just because he's a good corner, cover corner. I'm really torn about the run defense and the linebacker play. I like the fact that they did blitz the linebackers. They still struggle in coverage against some running backs and some tight ends, depends on who it is. And we have another significant loss on defense. I know you mentioned some of the defensive linemen, but our top safety is out. You know, we traded away Diggs. Our top safety, Tracy Walker, is out. And that definitely showed in the Chicago game. I mean, you know, taking shots in the middle of the field. I mean, some of those plays that, you know, Walker would be there with his big physical presence. Those backup safeties aren't that big. I mean, they're big, but they're not Tracy Walker big. He's a big player for a safety. So they missed that size and speed at safety with Tracy Walker being out.
Well, Will Harris, a third round pick we got, you know, who trying to be the guy we got go and take Trey last year. I mean, they really like him, but he's a rookie. So see, hopefully he can make more plays. I mean, this is the guy we traded go and take for. I now want to see who we get next year for the fifth round for trading away Andre Diggs. I'll be looking for that too. You know, Will Harris, he's a rookie. He's not making a plays like Walker did this rookie season. Uh-huh. And the guy from Penn State, you know, he's out there, but mainly on special teams. He's not doing much on defense.
Right.
So those are two guys I hope, you know, the Lions are high on in preseason. Let's hope they can come through and contribute this season and in the future.
Right. Because you have Ford's playing more of a role now than – you have the rookie playing Amani or Corey. So I just don't see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel going forward. I think we will see some. I don't see Tracy Walker practicing anytime soon with that knee injury, but we'll see. Hopefully we can make some adjustments. I know that there's a call out on social media for Matt Patricia to really do what some of the other head coaches have done in the league, where they're the head coach, but they're the de facto coordinator. So basically they're saying, hey, Matt Patricia, fire your boss. I know that, you know, he was your boss back in the day and now you're his boss, but they wanted him to fire Pasquale and become the de facto defensive coordinator and call the plays because of the fact that they say that he's more effective as a play caller on defense than Pasquale. Some of the chances that he would take Pasquale would be more conservative. So we'll see what happens going forward. I know that, you know, he's only a second year head coach. A lot of people say, hey, well, you know, you had this head coach did this, but sometimes it takes time to build a system the way you want it to. And some play, and depends on the situation that people came into. So you look at Sean McVay, you went into a situation where he had a pretty good roster. You know, the Lions roster was pretty much turned over the last couple of years. So a lot of players that were there on the Lions aren't there anymore. You know, you look at even the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. You know, Bob Quinn really gave Matt Patricia his roster that he wanted. So, you know, I don't know what you can do about that going forward, but it's really going to be time to put up or shut up for the Lions this season. And like we'll get into it in a 2 points conversing here in a minute. But, you know, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, they're going to be tied together. And it's the second year together. If they're not making significant improvements to this team, their tenure can be short in Detroit.
Yeah. And that's why I'm against tanking, because tanking just to get a high draft pick really works. Mm-hmm. And plus, you know, you take away a guy's ability. We all know if a guy can coach or if a guy can play, if you tell him to tank and lose games on purpose, or just get a high draft pick. I hate tanking. I mean, I can only name a few instances in sports history where tanking really worked. Mm-hmm. One is when the San Antonio Spurs tanked to get Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that run's finally over. And now they're kind of mediocre. And I can't name two other instances where tanking really works. You may get a good player. I guess you go back way back when Buffalo tanked to get O.J. Simpson. But, you know, Simpson make them Super Bowl contenders. So one guy can't do it all by himself, especially in football. Mm-hmm. It might work better in basketball, but football, you need one more than one guy.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Now it is time for 2 points conversing. Now let's get into this Quandre Diggs trade. Quandre Diggs traded to Seattle for a fifth round draft pick. I know a lot of fans didn't like it. It was definitely a move by Bob Quinn where it was questioned around the league, not just in Detroit. And I know Quandre spoke up here recently saying that it was about the locker room presence. I was surprised by the move. He was voted a team captain this year, and all of a sudden he's in Seattle playing on Monday Night Football, making an interception. And I'm like, why did we trade this? And as soon as we traded him, guess what happened? Tracy Walker got hurt. I'm like, what is going on? But however, a few years ago, I sent Quandre Diggs a plush football. Now, I said earlier that I was served in the military. Now, this football traveled with me to Afghanistan, to Korea, and back. And it followed me around. I carried it everywhere as far as where I had my desk. No matter if it was overseas or not, I kept that football on my desk everywhere I went. And I mailed it to Quandre and asked him for an autograph. You know, it was just, you know, a chance, you know, whim where, you know, I sent it to this, you know, Lions player. He was pretty much new to the team. And not only did he sign it, he got Darius Slay, Grover Quinn, and Nevin Lawson to sign it as well. So that's pretty much the Lions starting secondary for that year. Signed the ball except for the other safety. And it was awesome. I mean, took the time out of his day. Not only to sign it, but he got his other teammates to sign it. And they sent me a Lions media guy for that season as well. So he will always have a special place in my heart as a Lions fan. I just don't understand the move. A fifth-round draft pick, you know, this guy's a hard-hitting safety. Some people trying to say that production was down. I'm really not buying that. I mean, Quandre was, his role was a little bit different for the fact that really he moved kind of to free safety, and Tracy Walker kind of moved to that strong safety position where I just didn't get it. What are your thoughts on that Quandre Diggs trade, my man?
I still think it's very stupid. I mean, this is worse than the Golden Tate trade a year ago. I mean, at least Quandre is still a young player, only what, 26 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, making plays. I really liked him. I see he's our Troy Polamalu. You know, I love Diggs. I mean, mm-hmm. he said we did Monday night for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And of course, we hear about it, you know, in the group mm-hmm. and all over social. I don't know what Quinn's plan is, why he do it. You know, Quandre, I guess he came out in an interview saying, and that he thinks that he's too outspoken for the Lions. They want to control the locker room. You know, he's making plays. You know, you want leaders. That's what leaders do. I mean, they are outspoken. I mean, you want to take, you know, police the locker room, keep guys in line. You know, that's what a leader does. I don't know what Quinn and Patricia are doing. I mean, I didn't like the Golden trade last year. And I hate this trade even more. I mean, a fifth round pick, like I said, I'm going to watch very closely who they get in the fifth round. Like I said, they got a third round pick trying to be Will Harris. Mm-hmm. The jury's still out. But I hope Quinn knows what he's doing. I mean, like I said, should they be fired if the Lions, you know, finish with 10, 11 losses this season?
Yeah, that's going to be a thing where, you know, the GM got the coach he wanted, and this is his guy, and they're going to be tied together for their tenure. And now the coach has the players he wants, and it's still not making a difference. The Lions are in a worse position right now than they were in last year at 3-5-1 in 9 games into the season. They're going to have to win out and have to have some help to get into the postseason. I mean, and their games aren't going to get any easier because you have you have 3 more division games with the Bears, Vikings, and the Packers. And then you have the Cowboys are coming into town this weekend. That powerful running attack with Zeke Elliott, and the Cowboys have a top 5 passing attack. How is Jeff Driscoll going to do? The Cowboys defense isn't that great as far as their secondary. So, you know, they have one good corner and the rest of those guys are pretty much trash. So you can throw the ball around the field on the Cowboys. Is Jeff Driscoll up to the task of having a shootout with the Cowboys? I mean, we'll see. But I didn't like the personnel moves. And like I said a few seconds ago, as soon as that trade happened, Tracy Walker goes down the next game. Yep. So your continuity in your secondary is compromised because of the fact that you have a guy in CJ Moore and Will Harris. Those are, you know, young guys, you know, and they're used to playing in the special teams. They're not used to starting. Now, people will say it's the pros and, you know, and it should be plug and play. Plug and play doesn't really work in the NFL as pros. You have starters for a reason, because those guys are the caliber players that you want starting on your defense. It's rarely that you find a backup player that's as almost as good as your starter. It just doesn't happen that way. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to have a guy that's coming off the bench that's just as good as your starting player. And that is there any position. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I just don't get it. Let's talk about some injuries. Man, Tracy Walker's down. Deshaun Hand came back with the elbow and was balling and hurt his ankle. Like, what's going on? You know, you had Mike Daniels with the foot, and now he's back out again. You had Graham Glasgow go out with the back injury. And now you have Stafford on that play with the Raiders. He's out with a back injury. I'm just saying, man, it's a mash unit in that start in the Lions locker room. I mean, the medical and training staff is really overworked right now, trying to get some players healthy enough to play the Cowboys on Sunday. I just didn't see this happening coming into the season. What do you think, my man, about the injury bug?
Like I said, they've been hurt hard. They've been hit hard everywhere, especially at running back and defensive line. And their Iron Man, Matthew Stafford, is proved to be mortal. Does this have to do with from the strength and conditioning program? I mean, you know, man, I know you're going to get hurt regardless, but like, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, the Patriot way, he believes in a strong strength and conditioning offseason program, keep his guys healthy and ready for the season. You think that may be part of the problem, the strength and conditioning program for the Lions? I know they got one, but is it working?
It brought the guy from the Patriots. I mean, the guys worked with Patricia and Quinn before. I mean,
we talked about this many times, but
right.
Strength and conditioning.
Strength and conditioning, I mean, it's the same for players throughout the league. They get the same amount of strength and conditioning in the offseason as everyone else. I mean, the programs is the same. Now, I will say this. It's on the individual player, especially now in the offseason, to make sure your body's ready for the season. With Kerryon, I did see videos of him working out down at Auburn with some of his past teammates and some of the current players on the team. I mean, but injuries are going to happen. I mean, fluke things happen to players where, you know, a knee is twisted, an ankle is twisted, you know, something happens, you know, concussions happen. And just, you know, there's Murphy's Law. I mean, things are going to happen. However, it's how you have a contingency for your team going forward. Can you have players that if they're not as talented, they work hard? You know, they can be in the right place at the right time, you know, and that's always the biggest thing is to make sure you have the right depth. And right now, I just don't see that depth on the Lions. I just don't see it. The caliber of players that are coming in aren't the same type of caliber of players that's leaving out. And one thing about Bill Belichick's system and then New England, you just got to do your job. You don't have to worry about other people's assignments. You just worry about what your primary goal is, and you play the scheme, especially on defense, the way it's supposed to be played. And he has success doing it. And the rare thing with him is that most other coaches have coaching trees that are successful. You know what I'm saying? Like you have these coaches, like you have the Bill Walsh tree and the Andy Reid tree, where these guys have successful coaches come out under them. It just doesn't happen with Bill Belichick. I mean, Bill O'Brien is the closest thing to it.
Skip Bayless, he said something interesting last year when it came to about Patricia and the Belichick coaching tree. He says part of one of the reasons he thinks that Belichick's former assistants who go out and get coaching jobs fail is because Belichick is a wonderful coach as he is. He's not a good mentor. He doesn't mentor his coach as well. I mean, he expects them to show up at work, do a job, and, you know, do what they're told, do what they're paid for, but he's not very good at mentoring. That was Skip Bayless' theory about why his assistants don't do well. You can say Patricia and Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel and the guy used to be in Denver,
He's back at the Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, so would you buy Skip's theory why they don't do well?
I mean, that could be very well the case. The only one I see with any type of sustained success right now is O'Brien down in Houston. I can kind of see where he's making a good point. That could very well be the case that he's not a good mentor. I just love him, you know, but look at Brian Flores down in Miami. I mean, just the hand he was dealt, and now he's trying to turn the roster over. I mean, they had a fire sale for the Dolphins, and it's going to be so hard for him to rebuild that team in the way that he wants to going forward. I don't know if it's the situation that his former coaches go into, but they don't have a lot of success. I mean, Skip may have a point. All right, my man, that's 2 points conversing this week. All right, Lions fans, this week the Lions will be facing the Dallas Cowboys. What you got, my man, Shiny J, on your prediction for that game?
Well, I'll be going. I have tickets for that game. I will be there cheering on our Lions of victory. It won't be easy, but we see the Cowboys, they're not as tough as people think. They're more blustered and more, you know, the name brand, sure, Dallas Cowboys, but they can't be beat. I think the Lions will beat them in a close game. I'm going 2024 Lions.
2024 Lions.
2024, yes.
2024. I hate to say it. I think that the Zeke Elliott would elect the Lions will lose a squeaker. I think the Lions will lose this game 22-17. I just think that the Lions run defense will be too challenged by Zeke Elliott going into this game. So I think that is going to be a tough knockout game. And I think that the Lions will lose a squeaker to the Cowboys. Like I said, it'll be like about 20-17 with that final score. And I'm not hoping that's the score. I want the Lions to win. I'm thinking with my head and not my heart, my man.
I'll boo the heck out of them, Dak Prescott, and make take Ezekiel Elliott off his game too.
All right. And one thing before we get out of here, we would like to send condolences out to the Rogers family. Former Lions receiver and Michigan State standout receiver, Tosh Rogers, died over the weekend at age 38. His life was really cut short. You know, he was very sick, had some illnesses. He became very frail. This is a sad story. He was never able to really catch on in the NFL. To me, I really think that it's kind of tough. Everyone doesn't have the right support system. What do you say about that, Shawnee J?
You know, I'm a big Wolverines fan. Charles is almost a Wolverine. He never was Sparty, but I still had high hopes for him for the Lions. I thought he could be our next Randy Moss. He was taking second overall. Injuries, you know, really derailed him. Then the first broken collarbone, his rookie season. And when him and Dre Bly was, you know, fooling around practice, and bam, he got hurt. He came back the first game next season in Chicago. Broke his collarbone again. He was never the same after that. And he started taking painkillers and marijuana and smoking weed to try to ease the pain. He lost some speed. He kind of got out of shape. He fell in favor of Lions coaches and management. They tried to get, once again, you know, they're good at wanting to take money back from players. They try to get some money back from Charles. He had a hard life. He had it made. He had a career. He could have had a career. He could have been the next great receiver, but things out of control, like injuries, you know, wrecked his career. And, you know, I wish him well, his family well, that is. I hope he's resting in peace. He went away too early at the age of 38, too young, died too young. But, you know, I wish his family well. He had 8 kids, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes, you know, people get put in situations where they have everything, but then they have really the people who can kind of bring them down. And then I'm not saying that's the case, but you look at Charles Rogers. He's a Michigan native, went to Michigan State. And then you don't have, like, LeBron James is rare that he has a support system, because a lot of people who play where they're from, some of them don't have successful careers because they don't have a good support system. They have the same people that they grew up with, want them to do the same thing with them. They don't want them to succeed. And sometimes you have people who don't have your best interests at heart. You think that they're your friends, but they're not. And I think that with some of that drug uses and partying for Charles Rogers, I think some of that came into play with him. But I wish his family all the best. Godspeed. Please, Mr. Rogers, rest in peace. And we send out the heartfelt condolences to the Rogers family from here at the Die Hard Den podcast. So when we come back for the break, we're going to have a Lions All Pride profile on an outstanding Lions legend. Okay, we're back from the break. My man, Shawnee J, It is time for your Our Pride profile. Who you got this week?
This week, I like to profile one of the greatest quarterbacks next to, not named Matt Stafford, before there was Matt Stafford kiddies, and during the glory years, the 1950s, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, at least toughest, one Mr. Bobby Lane. Bobby Lane was born in Dallas, outside Dallas, Texas, on December 19, 1926. He was an All-American quarterback at the University of Texas, and he was in the 4-1 draft pick of the Chicago Bears in 1948. The Bears traded Lane to the Lions in 1950, and almost immediately, Bears legendary owner and coach George Halas regretted it because Lane became one of the most toughest, beloved, and popular quarterbacks in Lions and NFL history. He led the Lions, as I said, to two NFL championships in 1952 and 1953. He held all the Lions passing records for nearly 50, 60 years until Matthew Stafford came along and broke them all. Lane didn't lead the Lions to the third championship or in the subsequent championship in 1957 as he suffered a broken leg and before the end of the regular season. And that legend Tobin wrote, he came and led the Lions to the final championship. And the very next season, he became the Lions' starting quarterback as Lions ownership was frustrated with Bobby Lane's inconsistent play, his drinking, and they traded him away to the Pittsburgh Steelers after the second game of the 58th season. Legend has it that Bobby Lane's sailing his way out the door, that the Lions wouldn't win for another 50 years. Well, it's been over 50 years, so the Bobby Lane curse should have ended 10 years ago, and that ironically, that 50th year was the worst season in Lions history, the 2008 historic 0-16 season. So that's been over 11 years since the curse supposedly ended. I'm still waiting for the curse to end. We started winning. I thought, you know, with Matthew Stafford, who ironically went to the same high school, was born in the same neighborhood that Lane was, will be our new Lane. He has all his own. I love that. Now, like Bobby Lane, and so we can finally put that talk the rest of the Lane, Bobby Lane curse, along with the curse of the Bambino and the curse of the Billy Goat. So Bobby Lane, a beloved figure in Detroit, he played with the Lions from 1950 to 1958 till his trade to Pittsburgh, where he finished his career in 1962. There was talks of him coming back for a comeback for the Lions in 63. Ultimately, with injuries and age, he decided against it. Bobby Lane, always a legend, still a beloved figure in Detroit. And I think Matthew Stafford is just as good as Lane. But I hope Stafford don't start drinking like Bobby Lane did. So that's what I have on Lane.
All right. Outstanding prior profile on one, Mr. Bobby Lane. Now it is time for Now You Know.
Now You Know is brought to you by Foster Camera Solutions. For your home or business security needs, call Dan at Foster Camera Solutions for a free estimate at 248-672-8640. With no monthly fees and self-monitoring from your smartphone, computer, or tablet, let Foster Camera Solutions design a security camera system that fits your needs. You can also visit their Facebook page for more information at facebook.com/Foster Camera Solutions. Remember, Foster Camera Solutions, when securing your home or business. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. I know we've been on hiatus for a few weeks, some family vacations for both me and Sean, personal illness for myself, so I couldn't record. So let's hop to it. We got two rules we're going to tackle this week. We're going to tackle illegal hands to the face. This is a sore point for us Lions fans, being that the fact it cost us the Monday night victory in Green Bay, and a crazy fair catch kick rule that was used by the Panthers when they played in London. So let's get into it. First of all, illegal hands to the face. Article 7 of the rule book states, illegal hands to the face, it is a foul if a defensive player thrusts his hands or arms forward above the frame of an opponent to forcibly contact him on the neck, face, or head. Now, Lions fans, I know you already know this is not what happened in the game at Green Bay. Trey Flowers had his hands up on the shoulder pads area. The offensive lineman flailed his head back as if he was being touched in the neck area or face, and he sold it to the referees and got an illegal hands to the face call. Now, here's a note. In close line play, it is not a foul unless it is direct or forcible or prolonged. This rule still applies. He did not have it forcible or direct on his helmet, head, or neck at all during those plays. Now, we already know illegal hands to the face for the defense is a loss of 5 yards and an automatic first down. This is key because it really cost the Lions 2 drives in that game on 2 bad penalties. So NFL referees, if you're listening, please get this illegal hands to the face correct. Now, I will have to give credit where credit is due. The Lions were subject to a politicking by the Packers offensive lineman. He went to the ref and said, hey, he's putting his hands in my face. And he went ahead and flailed about to make it look like a good old flop, like in basketball, and he got the call. So, referees, make sure you're calling it right. I know you're human, but you got to get that right when it costs teams a win. Now, the fair catch kick rule. Now, first of all, let's get into what actual a fair catch is. A fair catch is a unhindered catch of an airborne scrimmage kick that has crossed the line of scrimmage or is an airborne free kick by a player of the receiving team who has given a valid fair catch signal. Now, this is Section 2, Article 1 of the NFL rulebook. Now, we already know a valid fair catch signal is when a member of the receiving team puts his hands over his head and waves it from one side to the other. So that's a valid fair catch signal. So now let's get into putting this ball into play after a fair catch. Article 4 of this rule states, after a fair catch is made or is awarded after result of a fair catch interference, the receiving team has the option of putting the ball in play by either a fair catch kick, drop kick, or place kick without a tee from the spot of the catch, or the succeeding spot after enforcement of any applicable penalties. Snap the ball at the spot of the catch, which was most teams do. They just go ahead and line up and snap the ball. However, the fair catch kick rule came into play where the Panthers chose at the end of a half, time had already expired. If the time expired, this is Article 5, a player which has signaled for a fair catch, the following rules shall apply. If a player makes a fair catch, the receiving team may elect to extend the period with one, a fair catch kick, but does not have the option of extending the period from the snap of the ball. So what the Panthers did at the end of that period, they said, hey, we're going to try a fair catch kick. So what the fair catch kick rule did was it allowed them to try a field goal from the spot of the fair catch. This is a very obscure rule. It doesn't happen that often. So I give it up to Ron Rivera and the Panthers for trying this fair catch rule. So the fair catch kick and the illegal hands to the face. Hey, if you don't know, now you know, like my man Biggie Smalls, baby, baby. Now let's get back to the Die Hard Den podcast with my man, Shawnee J.
All right, we're back from now, you know. Now it is time for us to get on out of here. Shawnee J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
go to Facebook, look up Sean Jennings. I'd be happy to accept your friend request. And also, if you want, I can add you to our Lions group, Detroit Lions Truest Fans, where I keep the Lions fans up to the speed online, everything Lions news, Curtis knows. So hit me up.
All right. That's my man, Shawnee J. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Curtis Steele 14. That's CURTISSTEELE 14. You can also find the show on Twitter at DieHardDenPodC1 on Twitter. You can also email the show at DieHardDenPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. We're so happy to be back here at the Die Hard Den Podcast going forward. And as always, we will look forward to you reaching out to us, giving us your opinion, telling us what you think, what do you think we need to add to the show. And as always, for my man, Shawnee J, this is Curt Steele, and we are out.